Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Sarah and Vinny.
Alice at 97.3, Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. Thank you for joining us this fine Monday morning. This part of the program is brought to you by IKEA. In light of the shooting in Las Vegas, and I'll give you a little update on that in just a second, we are suspending the We Can Survive contesting at least for today. Our thoughts are with our friends, coworkers, listeners in Vegas, anybody who just wanted to, you know, have a good time. And Vinny was just listening to some of the fan-posted audio of the concert itself, and it's horrifying to hear the...
The dude just jumps on the trigger and doesn't
and
pull off.
And does not let go. It's just awful. So in light of that, we're just putting everything on pause for a day.
You know, a lot of people have written in. Well, let me
get through
your business and then I'll tell.
Cozy should never be costly. From September 27th to October 9th, all IKEA mattresses over $150 will be going at 20% off. Visit your IKEA store or IKEA.com today. IKEA, make the dream yours. Okay, Benny.
You know, there's a weird combination of things happening. As you watch a lot of science fiction and read a lot of science fiction books, they predict this future for us that is sort of housebound. What was the WALL-E's one it shows us all?
We can't even walk anymore. We're all in these floating chairs.
We stay inside.
Every bodily need is met.
And there's a weird combination of technology improving at such a rapid pace and us being so addicted to it, and also... these types of events in a mass crowd where people gather, where we all go to enjoy music and party and have fun, where who's going to be able to do that without some concern down the line when these types of things happen? It almost seems like the two things,
fulfilling prophecy
are leading us towards this sort of horrible future of being shut-ins.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to see that happen to us, but someone was writing in, that can't be terrorism. I understand you have political motivations, but for sure they're keeping people from going to events down the line.
Mm-hmm.
A gathering, you know, as people who just want to have fun and enjoy music. And maybe it doesn't meet the political standard for terrorism, but it's this
right.
guy.
No named terrorist group has taken credit for it, but I don't care what you say. I am terrorized by a person shooting wildly into a crowd with a machine gun. That is terrorism. It's just not ISIS terrorism. Sorry.
It just makes you go, I hope that we don't find ourselves unable to gather like that in the future.
Right.
That's what I was thinking on the drive-in.
Well, and it just becomes this sort of security nightmare and the whole... It's right.
I love this stuff. I love the types of events where you can be with just tons of people and strike up random conversations. I love outside lands where I've just been sitting there eating something on the ground and someone, hey, you going to this show? And you walk over with a group of people you don't even know and you watch, you know, Portugal the Man or whatever band. And it's just so random and fun and I don't know. It's unfortunate that this can change that.
It certainly can.
I hate to see that.
So in case you have not yet heard the news, somehow everyone these days with the phone alerts and everything, it's hard to break news anymore. Somebody shot into a crowd. This man shot from his...
Stephen Paddock.
From his hotel room.
Is that the name?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Actually, you know what? The story I'm looking at here is older. But it happened about 10 o'clock, a little after 10 o'clock local time in Las Vegas. Over 50 people were killed, over 400 wounded, making this the deadliest mass shooting in U.S. history. This was at an outdoor concert called the Route 91 Harvest Festival. This was, I believe, the very end of a three-day country event. Jason Aldean was on stage and... as his song is ending, you know, in the clip that Vinny was listening to during the break, I mean, it's, you would think, is that firecrackers? What is that exactly? It's a very regular hammering sound. It's exactly what you think it's going to sound like. Oh, here it is. A 64-year-old local guy who lives in a retirement community right near there. The guy's named Stephen Paddock. This story says he was killed by the SWAT team. I believe they found him. I think the update on that is that they found him dead once they broke into the room. But he had 10-plus weapons in the room with him, and was just, the only pauses were for him to reload or grab another weapon. So as we get more info, we will update you on that story. But as of right now, there's not a whole lot more to report. They, I guess, located his wife. She was overseas, and they're saying...
Or roommate.
We don't
know if it was a wife. In fact, one of the reports is that was his roommate. Mm-hmm.
Just a random person that lived with him at this place. They did locate her, and she said she's not involved.
Right. Sarah, we are posting right now on Sarah and Vinny Facebook page.
That's
Las
right.
Vegas Police Department and officials are asking for blood donations.
Oh, they are?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They've also asked everyone to donate any video they have on their phone.
Or
not
the
donate,
FBI.
But turn over any video you took. And that's the video I was just watching, because people were... If you go to a concert now, people are videoing with their phone the whole time.
Yep.
And that's the video I was listening to. You can't see anything, but you can hear over the music. The guy shoots, I don't know how many fire off in that.
Countless. It just goes and goes and goes.
He holds the trigger for 40 seconds.
Right. It happened. O.J. Simpson is breathing the same free air that you are this morning. He was released Sunday morning just after midnight, so late Saturday night, early Sunday morning. He spent 9 years behind bars in Las Vegas. Everything's happening in Vegas right now. The juice was let loose, they say here. Hilarious. They snuck him out in the middle of the night to avoid any incidents. He was picked up by an unidentified friend. A spokesperson for the Department of Corrections says he was upbeat, personable, seemed happy to get on with his life. Back in July, one of his friends said that his agenda is going to include visiting Nicole Brown's grave. I have no idea if that's really going to happen or not. But as far as plans, that's all we really know. He wants to move to Florida. Attorney General Pam Bondi wants to deny him permission to live there. OJ's attorney called her the, quote, stupidest person on the planet and said she can't do anything about it. But I assume he's out on parole, and so my guess is maybe she does have something to say about it. For now, he is apparently staying with some friends in Las Vegas. So he was actually, you know, I had heard he'd driven quite a ways to get to Las Vegas. Like, it was being held elsewhere in Nevada, but it doesn't say so in the story. He has got about $25,000 a month in pensions that he can live on. So he has some income. His net worth is estimated anywhere between $250,000 and $3 million. Oh, here it is. He was picked up in Lovelock, Nevada. And the person who picked him up drove him to Vegas about 400 miles.
Hmm.
And the paparazzi must have sniffed it out, because they caught up with him at a rest area not far from Vegas.
Oh,
OJ was not happy to see them. And we do have a little video of that. Yeah. Don't ask me any questions. I've got nothing to tell you. What's changed is I'm out. That's it. You already knew that.
How does it feel to be out? I've been in a car for 5 hours. How do I know?
Talk to me tomorrow after I've had a chance to walk around a little.
Eat a burger.
Right.
Cash me outside.
Cash me outside. Hugh Hefner.
Yeah.
There's a guy whose name is Stefan Tettenbaum. That's a good name. Mm-hmm. Stefan Tettenbaum. He worked for Hugh Hefner at the Playboy Mansion, and he says it was a bit of a nightmare. He was Hugh's valet from 78 to 79. So are we talking about not a car valet? We're talking about like a personal assistant, like a valet, like they have on Downton Abbey? Like a man servant?
Well, people are coming and going all the time there anyway, right?
I guess so.
Are those words spelled the same?
They are.
Oh.
He says that what he witnessed was kind of gross. Like Hef's pig nights, where he would call, that's in quotes from this
pig
dude.
Pig nights.
Pig nights. He would
Is that
call,
like a lot of bacon and sausage? Hungry?
It's when he would call a lot of prostitutes to the house for his friends to enjoy. Which, weren't there already prostitutes living there? They were the Playboy models, right? Kidding. They're not prostitutes. Stefan says, sometimes the women had penises, and Hefner didn't want to be involved with that, but some of the other guests, especially John Belushi, they didn't mind.
Oh, we're going way back to the 70s?
Oh, this is the guy worked there from 78 to 79, and this is he's talking about what he saw. I don't know, maybe his non-disclosure agreement expired when Hef died. I don't know. Suddenly he's out yelling about all the pig nights, etc., that happened at the Playboy Mansion. Sometimes Hef, he says, would bring in male porn stars like John Holmes, legendarily well-endowed. He would bring them in to have sex with the girls who lived there, or I don't know what the setup was in the 70s.
Well, maybe they were doing live sex shows.
Maybe. And they said that this guy, Stefan Tettenbaum, says Hef did not involve himself in that, but he would sit and watch. He enjoyed that. Hugh sat there in his favorite chair, smoking a joint and eating red licorice and watching.
I believe all this. I think that for a guy like Hugh Hefner, who was trying to push the envelope on purpose and had the means and the people available to him, I'm not surprised by it. Are you?
You know, I don't know whether to believe any of this stuff because I feel like people are out for a quick buck now that he's gone and he's relevant for a second and this guy's just trying. But, I mean, I really don't know if I believe it or not.
I mean, the nature of everything humans do is there's a tendency towards escalation, right? I mean,
sure.
In general.
That's just going to, nothing ever gets better.
We had a bunch of people over last week and they did this. Now, how are we going to top that?
We need to top that. Let's make this weekend's party even more ferocious. This guy says that Hef was very demanding with his women. Stefan said, I had to go into the room afterward, and if the girls couldn't walk, I would have to escort them to the bedrooms so they could recuperate.
If they couldn't walk?
Hef sometimes gave bonuses to the women because the sex acts were so painful. I know. What on earth was he doing?
Well, maybe John Holmes. And that guy's
He's saying
known to be the biggest.
I know, but this guy is saying that it's Hugh Hefner that it seems that he's referring to Hugh.
Oh.
But I don't know. Maybe it was. Stefan says that that Hugh Hefner was very brutal to his girlfriends and sex partners. He always made sure they had breast implants, and if a woman had one burst, he would put them back in the hospital and discard these women. He didn't care. They were disposable. One of this guy's duties was to make sure this Stefan Tettenbaum, who was either a valet or a valet to Hugh Hefner. One of his duties was to make sure that the maids washed and sterilized the sex toys after use and then returned them to the secret compartment above Hefner's bed.
Yikes. Well, I guess you can't use new ones every time if you're up to that much nonsense.
Right. And all this chaos was recorded. According to Stefan, Hugh was recording everything and was prepared to use the footage against anyone who thought about spilling any of his secrets.
Oh, wouldn't that be crazy to find out somewhere there's just a library of all of the celebrities who've rolled through there and all the stuff they've done?
Right. I think we're finding that out. Stefan's final word on Hef is he started out as an innovator and was a very liberal guy. He was very ahead of his time, and then when he moved from Chicago to L.A., he became just another dirty old rich man. So, I don't know. I don't know what credibility you want to assign to this Stefan Tettenbaum, but he says that working at the Playboy Mansion was a nightmare, not a dream. Hefner was laid to rest on Saturday. And TMZ says his widow has been very well provided for despite the fact that she's not inheriting, but there's a setup for her. She's all set. Don't worry about Crystal. If you were, don't worry. She'll be fine.
Good for her.
SNL came back. I believe it was the 43rd season.
Did you love it?
It was good.
You didn't
there
love
was,
it.
Actually, I loved the opening monologue with the host was Ryan Gosling.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so funny because he's there, you know, promoting Blade Runner, but he's going on and on about how we saved jazz, you know.
From La La Land?
From La La Land. And he's very funny because he's so clearly, you know, in on the joke. And he sits down at the piano and he says, you know, let me just show you how I saved it. And sits down, he's kind of moving his shoulders. And then the piano's going and he's like lighting a cigarette. Like clearly he's not playing the piano.
Good for him.
It was very cute. And then at the very end, after, you know, a bunch of stuff happens on stage, Emma Stone comes out and she's like, we've talked about this a million times. You didn't save jazz. You're not just, we saved jazz. It was adorable. Hilarious. What I like about him is he just clearly wants to laugh because even when the bit's not that funny, he's just laughing his ass off all the way through the whole
fun.
Thing.
Good
he's having
him.
A ball. They do this one skit, and they've done it a few times, where... it's like a couple of FBI investigators or, I don't know, NASA investigators. And they have these people who have been, it's confirmed, they've been abducted by space aliens. And they're in there telling their story. And two of them have had this amazing, like, life-changing experience. And you could tell that they were just trying to, they loved us. And then there's the one girl who's like, well, my experience was a little bit different than that. And she's goes on to explain what happened to her, and it's much worse. And then she's demonstrating on Ryan Gosling's butt how they were, you know, they thought I was broken back here, and they're trying to, like, put it back together, and then they're... And he's just... his face is turned away.
Because the aliens don't have butts.
Right, the aliens don't have butts.
And they're like, what is going on here? And they've never seen a crack before.
Yes.
And they're, like, trying to mush it together. Cause
you saw it?
I saw the one skit, because the internet was going crazy over it, so I'm like, all right, it was... longer than I wanted. But
it's pretty funny.
He was
dying.
They were all dying.
They can't get through the whole skit because everyone's just...
It was funny.
Covering their mouth.
You know what's funny is Fallon is famous for not being able to finish his bits without laughing.
Right.
And it's actually supposed to be a faux pas of this show that you're not supposed to...
ruin the bit by
crack
laughing.
Up.
Right.
You're supposed to stay in character and do your damn job. It obviously didn't hurt him.
With him winding up with the Tonight Show.
Right.
Where he still can't get through a bit.
He if you look back at his bits, there he is, coming undone.
Laughing his ass off. Speaking of funny guys, Jim Carrey is in the news again today.
All right.
This is the opposite of funny.
Oh, no.
It's the girlfriend.
The ex.
Yeah. So Jim Carrey had an ex-girlfriend named Catriona. I think that's how you say her name.
Mm-hmm.
White.
Mm-hmm.
And she...
Irish chick, right?
She was, yeah. And she committed suicide last year after they had broken up. And so then in Dribs and Drabs, we've gotten all kinds of sordid details because the family obviously is incredibly upset that their child, she was a grown woman, but she's their daughter and she committed suicide. And they filed a wrongful death lawsuit against Jim Carrey. So the other day, they released a message that she wrote to him in 2013, where she claims he gave her herpes and HPV. She says, she also says, you introduced me to cocaine, prostitutes, mental abuse, and disease. Being with you broke me down as a person. You threw me away when you absorbed anything worthwhile that was left of me. So Jim just filed a countersuit against Catriona's family and their attorney. He says she had the STDs before they met and that both she and the attorney knew it, but threatened to extort him over it anyway a few years back. At the time, Jim settled with them. He said at the time, it's easier and less costly than going to court. I'm going to go ahead and settle. And now they're suing him. He's suing them.
So he's admitting he's got that then.
I guess he is. HPV
Yikes.
And herpes.
All right.
Anyway, so they released this message and that's, you know, it's terrible. The whole situation's awful. And I'm sorry that's happening. the box office this weekend.
This is crazy. I'm totally surprised by what's happening.
You know, which one? The box office or the
box
Jim
office
Carrey
that
thing?
It won again.
It did. Although they are saying technically all the numbers that we get on Monday are estimates. So when the final numbers come in, it's possible that Tom Cruise could have won the weekend, but he was edged out by, it looks like, around $250,000. It is number one again in its fourth week. It's made almost $300 million. It made $17.3 million over the weekend. And right behind it was $17.02 million. Again, estimates, so I guess, you know, this could change, is American Made. That's the new Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
You guys did not like this movie, correct?
I didn't love it. No, I mean, it's a great, like I said, it's a great history lesson, but in terms of a film and...
What'd you give it?
He gave it a 2 3/4, but Scott gave it like 1.5.
Oh, yeah.
Kingsman was number 3. The Lego Ninjago movie. Flatliners debuted in 5th place with $6.7 million. Battle of the Sexes was number 6. That has made $4 million bucks in 2 weeks.
Oh, that's not very good.
I want to say this might have even been the first week of a full release. $3.4 million it made this week. So that means it made less than $1 million last week.
See what Mother's up to?
Mother has made $16 million in 3 weeks. Mm. And that's at number 10 this week with another $1.5 million. The only other new one on here is Till Death Do Us Part.
Yeah.
That debuted in 9th place with $1.6 million. What's that one?
It's Taye Diggs. And that's it.
Oh, I think this is the one I brought up last week and went, you don't even want to hear about this.
Yeah.
Some lady. Some dude.
This week, everyone, Blade Runner.
Yeah, exciting.
You're going to that today.
I'm going to it today, and Legit Tommy and Hot Ass Danielle are coming with me.
They are?
They are. So if... Oh, no, they're not. I just got the don't say it sign. Oops. Hey, Vinny, what's coming up in the news?
Don't say it, or they just got uninvited?
No, I think they're going, but I thought you were going to review the movie with one of them. Okay. So what's coming up in the news, Vin?
Well, I have a lot of stories, a divorce to battle, and more after these. Radio.com.
Radio.com. Alice at 97.3, Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. This part of the show is brought to you by Target. We have an old friend coming in tomorrow. His name is Greg Baldwin. He used to work here at the Alice.
Yes.
And he's a great guy. And he took off a few years ago to kind of make his world happen in the world of comedy. And he's doing a show tomorrow night at the Punchline. So we're going to have him in, chat with him, and see what's been going on. And
yeah, sounds like a lot of good things have
in
happened
Greg
to him.
Baldwin's world.
Pursuing his goal.
Yeah. It's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. Everyone ditches the real life to try to make their dreams come true. So we'll see Greg Baldwin tomorrow. Trick out your Halloween at Target with costumes, candy, decor, and more with scary good prices every week. Target run and done.
What's up, everyone? This Alice Report is brought to you by October, which is Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
Yeah. Oh, did you see Melania tweeted out a picture of the White House?
I
it's all
see
lit
that
in
all pink.
Yes.
It's pretty.
I didn't see that.
Yeah. All right. She has a nice view there. She looked out the window.
From her
room, I assume.
I'm thinking from the hotel across the street.
No.
No, I did not. So if you're just waking up, there was a shooting last night in Las Vegas. I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but and I don't even really have any new updates. But a guy named Stephen Paddock opened fire on a music festival, the closing act of a 3-day country event.
Right.
Jason Aldean was on the stage when, and you can find these videos, they're all over the internet, when this guy opened fire from the Mandalay Bay hotel room. He was on the 32nd floor.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And you can, he just jumps on the trigger and doesn't get off. I imagine he emptied whatever he had. Whatever kind of clip was in there, he emptied it.
Right. They say the only pauses were
reload.
For him to reload, and he had a bunch of weapons on him.
Stephen Paddock is 64. They say he's a grandfather that lived in a remote desert home. They now have tracked him a little bit. He bounced back and forth between, Reno, Nevada. He lived in Florida for a bit. In fact, they found his brother, who lives in Florida. And his brother says he was just a retired guy who went to hotels, gambled, and went to shows. We are completely at a loss for why he would have done this. We're dumbfounded. So...
it is incredible. Random act.
Some people are... I'm not going to spend a bunch of time speculating about what possibly could be in this side this guy. But some people are filled with hate.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be racially motivated. They're just filled with it and they're... you'd think that the brother would have some idea that this guy was angry.
Right.
Because your brother does know that. I mean, your brother knows you.
Right.
Someone had texted he's the get off the lawn guy.
But this is so much farther than that, right, though.
But,
I mean,
he wasn't connected with any organizations that the brother knew of.
Well, and it's funny you say get off my lawn because I did think maybe he was actually pissed because he was trying to go to sleep at 10 o'clock on a Sunday night.
With all those guns.
But why did he have 10 guns in the room with him?
That machine gun, too. It wasn't just a gun. It
was traveling fully armed.
Yeah, it was a machine gun that he opened fire on.
How do you even get that? I mean, that had to be a suitcase all unto itself. I mean, it's just so crazy.
CNN said he had been there since Thursday.
Mm.
Someone had texted in, which I went, hey, yeah, but... how do you shoot out of a hotel window? But maybe there was a balcony involved.
No balcony. You shoot the window out.
Oh.
I mean, they were showing footage on. I was watching behind you. Is that there's more than one window too that was seemed to be broken.
Oh,
but he just shot the window out.
Oh, I thought I was thinking balcony too.
Mm. Not well, you know, possibly that wasn't the picture
it was
I saw
behind me.
Yeah, I was looking. I'm like, oh, those two windows are blown out.
I mean, balconies in a high rise are sketchy and hairball. So I could see why you wouldn't have those. Mm. But I've never been to Mandalay Bay, so I can't comment.
Right.
Where do we stay? The Palms?
We do.
I've only been to Vegas as an adult with you guys.
The Palms. We've stayed at the D.
Yeah.
And I always forget the name of that third place we stayed at. It was downtown also, and it was really nice. I'm sure someone will text me and tell me. And I just made my...
Four Queens.
My... across the street. My reservations last night.
Oh, right. You're going to see Elton John.
Mm-hmm.
Yay.
Happy 50th, you said.
Thank you.
All right. So, relationships.
Oh, boy. More good news.
When they're good, they're the best.
I agree. 100%.
When they're bad...
all your friends don't want to talk to you because
oh, well, that's just, you know, listen, that's so there you are still together. Divorce is ugly. Mm. A couple named Beverly and Donald McLeod from Edmonton, Alberta, split up in 2015 after 35 years of marriage.
Oh, my goodness.
Which there's
you
no
make it that far.
There's no telling these two people that in general is a success right there. You two made it 35. I don't know why you want to be apart, but all right.
35 years was long enough.
Good for you two, though. Instead, they've been battling in court.
Oh, no.
Since 2015.
What are they battling over?
The last final thing in their divorce is the hockey tickets.
Oh, do they have season tickets or something?
They have season tickets to the Edmonton Oilers, and apparently these are hard to get. So it's not like one of them can just go get their own.
Oh.
Donald... the husband says he was cool with paying Beverly $15,000 a month in alimony.
Oh.
But he wasn't giving up the tickets, too.
$15,000 a month.
Beverly says those tickets are mine just as much as anything else is mine in this house. I want the tickets. They've finally agreed to divorce. And that they're going to alternate picking which games they want to go to every season with Donald getting first pick.
Oh, Donald gets first pick.
Well, right.
All right. I mean, someone had to go first. That's a...
Awful.
I was thinking
35
that,
years of marriage.
I know, you
marriage,
can't just both go to the game. Just,
up.
You know, just sit together and...
Oh, no. That's not...
Angle away from each other.
She couldn't just say, all right.
Well, she loves the Oilers. Maybe she's really into it.
$15,000 a month payout?
Yeah. And she wants those tickets.
I'd give up the tickets for $15,000 a month, wouldn't you?
I don't know, Vin. I mean, maybe she just loves the Oilers so much that she can't.
She just wants bear to stick it to him.
Oh, you think that's it?
I told you guys.
So she's not even going to go to those games.
Or sell them?
She'll sell them. She'll sit out front and get a little
or
padding
sit there
to her 15
and text
grand.
Her a picture with her new boyfriend.
One of the worst stories I've heard, and I mean, I hear a lot of these, but this was a personal. Someone I know. The husband and wife were fighting over the dog, and she fought him for the dog, and finally he gave up. It was his dog, but he finally just said, I can't do this. He gave her the dog. She got the dog and gave it to a friend.
Mm.
Immediately,
she just wanted to get the dog
turned,
away
she got
from
the
him.
Dog, turned right around, and gave it to this person I know who said, yeah, it's my dog now.
Horrible.
I don't know what to do. I want to go give it to him.
That's what that person should do.
But that's not her friend. She doesn't. Her friend gave her the dog.
Yeah. She should say, no, I'm not taking your dog. I'm going to go call your ex.
Isn't that crazy, though?
It is. It's just people are vindictive.
Mean, yeah.
She just turned like she didn't want it. She got custody and just went here.
I want to believe that this lady really does care about the Oilers and that she wasn't just trying to stick it to her husband of 35 years. But you're probably right, Yuzette. She just wanted to be vindictive, and she's going to sell those tickets, or she's going to text a picture of herself and her new boyfriend from the seats, like you said. Oh, people suck.
Oh.
We're terrible.
Well, breaking up's a bummer.
It's hard to do.
And we don't know the backstory either.
Sure. And he may be boning his secretary. How dare him?
Mm-hmm. Has a whole nother family.
Oh, that cad.
Bastard.
Well, we don't know.
We know.
We don't know.
Our gut tells us.
He might not even... You don't know. He's an old guy. It might not even work anymore.
Old guys do stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. Scott Capurro is pretty much in need of the Viagra, right?
That's what I... Mm-hmm. That's what he says. I don't know, man. Hugh Hefner went deaf from Viagra. Who knew that would happen to you?
Oh, yeah. I was thinking that was a Scott story. I was like, wait, was Scott? What?
Beer.
What about it?
Did you hammer a lot of beers this weekend over at
I had a couple beers.
Did you?
Yeah.
What was the drink of choice, though?
The vodka soda.
That's the move.
That's my drink. Yeah.
All right. There are 10 states listed here as... They love beer the most.
Oh, these are the most beer-loving of all the states.
And Massachusetts wins.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
I don't know. They love the most beer. That's they're beer lovers.
Beer.
Massachusetts, Missouri, Wisconsin, Oklahoma. We got to step our game up. California is not even in the top 10.
Oh. And we're such craft brewers
I know.
Here.
It's weird. The top 5 drinks are beer, margaritas, wine... Margaritas beat out wine? Cosmos and gin and tonics.
This is nationwide? These are the top
5
drinks?
Yeah, the top 5 drinks.
Cosmos are pretty good. Gin and tonic. Gin makes me angry.
Gin makes you angry. Yeah.
We did a shot of tequila on Saturday night before we started really drinking.
What?
That was fun. We've been doing that lately.
What?
Kickstarts the party.
Yeah.
At the party you were at with your...
We went out to some restaurant, Danucci's, in Valley Ford, middle of nowhere.
Where were you again?
In Tamales, but we drove to Valley Ford to have dinner, and so we were sitting at the bar waiting for our table. And knocked back.
Everybody,
a
take
shot.
A shot.
Everybody, let's do a shot. Like, all right, let's do it. Shot.
I had tequila shots on Saturday.
Oh,
was that the event where you were carrying your dog around in a purse?
Yeah.
Did you see that picture?
No.
I didn't even notice it. I actually, I'm looking at Yuzette going, oh, Yuzi's out having a great time. Good for her. And then I
want to
say,
closer?
As I was scrolling up, one of the posts said, "Oh, look at your dog." And I went back to the picture and went, "The
her
dog
head's
is
popping
in
out."
Oh, funny. What event was that?
It was a salsa festival in Redwood City.
Did you go salsa dancing?
Well, they did have some salsa dancing, some bands. It was like 11 blocks long in downtown Redwood City.
Oh.
But we were tasting salsas.
Oh, actual salsas.
Yeah, we were
I
tasting
see.
Different salsas.
I would have loved that. I love salsa.
It was
salsa.
So fun. And then tequila tasting as well.
Oh.
So hot. But we found a little bench to sit at and hung out there for a little bit. Right now, the president is delivering remarks on
the
Vegas shooting.
What are you looking at, Twitter?
No, I'm looking at the news right
we're
now.
We're looking
it's
at
breaking
him.
News.
Oh,
he's
looking
speaking.
At his ugly mug.
Yeah.
I'll get you details as soon as he's done.
Okay.
All right. Over the weekend, some football was played. It seems everybody lost that's close to us. The Niners lost. The Raiders lost. Cal lost.
And
our boy
Patriots.
Goes to Cal. I was really hoping that at some point, because they were playing in Oregon, like that you guys would want to, you're all, hey, the family's getting in the car and we're taking a road trip to Oregon for the game.
No.
Like our kid goes to Berkeley and we're all going to cheer on Cal. That's not going to happen ever, huh?
I don't believe that is going to happen.
Huh.
Maybe he'll get some friends that are really into the Cal games and then he'll, I don't know.
Want to go.
Yeah, you know how it is. You do what your friends want to do.
Yeah, all right. Well, Cal lost.
He brought all his friends to our house and they played Settlers of Catan on Saturday. So that was.
All his friends from college.
Yeah, but you brought
a few
kids.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. Yep.
And did they have like a keg party or?
No, they didn't. Walked over, got a little dinner, came back, played Settlers of Catan. Really wild college party.
Wow. Yeah. All right. What's coming up in the... I should do some text first. Sorry, I got a minute
here. I had more to report to you, Vinny.
Gosh.
That my house was trashed or something had gone down, but nothing.
No keg parties.
And they cleaned up after themselves. There was no evidence that they were there when we got home.
No possibility of a road trip to see the Bears play?
No. Nope.
Our text number is 800-400-408 says, my alarm didn't go off either. Because your phone didn't ring you up.
It
this
didn't.
Morning.
And I don't recall looking at the clock function at all. Like, I don't know why it would have. So annoying.
I want to thank everyone who texted in suggestions for
the R costume
party that I've been invited to. They're spectacular. There's such a long list. Someone else texted in. Let me see if I can find it real quick.
I have a favorite, what I want you to go as.
Oh, you do? Yeah. Don't say it out loud because someone texted in. My wife and I are invited to the exact same party in Scotts Valley. I'm loving the ideas. Keep them coming. No more ideas for you.
Oh.
I had the same. So we had just, we were in the middle of a move and I'm telling you, we're brain dead. We've got nothing left. We're moving the wrong. So we moved the TV. And screwed everything up. Our lives
Who
are
does
ruined.
That?
I don't. She does. I just lift. I do what I'm told. But anyway, we tried to think of our stuff at the dinner table last night, and we came up with like one thing.
Yeah.
Roseanne, I think it was. All right, one of us has a costume. The rest.
Well, she looks so different throughout the years. You can go as
go
winner.
The missus goes. You could go as a runner. I'm all, okay.
You guys can both go as runners. That would be really
we
easy.
We had
That'd
no
be so
ideas.
Easy.
That's how brain
We're
dead
runners.
We are.
Well, put on, you know, put the head sweatband and the sweat, you're fine.
Remember when we dressed, what's funny is, remember when we dressed up Hooman as he was the fastest runner,
yes.
Bay
yeah,
Area
yeah.
broadcaster, and
the
I
dolphin
went
shorts
and found him and dolphin shorts.
Yeah.
Unicorn t-shirt.
And cute, tight shirts. That's what she was like, oh, if I could get you in dolphin shorts, I'm all right. Well, listen, you know, what?
Be easy, Ben. That'd be an easy costume.
Sure. Well, but we have so many great ideas now. That's the point. Right. Thank you, everyone, for writing in.
And don't, do not saying any more. You don't want to ruin it for,
right.
You want to help this guy out.
Exactly right.
You're having party competition.
I'm really stoked.
All right, we're going to take a quick break when we come back. We'll look at the charts for last week. This would be the music segment that you guys did when I was off at the wedding. There's also a Marilyn Manson story. Very upsetting. Very upsetting.
I love her.
You're going to be very upset by this.
Am I?
And more after these.
Ah.
Alice at 97.3's Sarah and Vinny.